Mike Bisaglia here from SeavillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to Runcast, a weekly form of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's broadcast of Runcast. Appreciate you listening in. Things are heating up, both temperature-wise and activity-wise. A lot went on last weekend, and a lot more to go on this coming weekend. We'll talk about last weekend first. The biggest story on our local map was the former Rachel Rose, Rachel Ward now, two-time state champion over at Albemarle in cross-country. Got recruited by UVA to run for them, one of the most highly touted high schoolers coming out of high school that year, and got bad luck injury right off the bat. Never really wore a Virginia uniform in competition through her 4 years. Sadly, disappeared off the radar. Not for us personally. She's in our life very much. She works for us and around her every day, and I have the pleasure now of helping coach her. She's on our post-collegiate team. She's been with us for about 5 months now, and she's been a joy to coach. And the Shamrock 8K was her debut coming back. Probably the most prestigious 8K in our Mid-Atlantic region. It's a money race. It attracts a lot of international runners of really high talent. And she was in seventh place at the mile. At 4 miles, she took the lead and ran away with the race. She won it, which is pretty amazing. 26:44, which is it's almost beyond comprehension from even a competitive female to grasp. It's 5 minutes and 23 seconds a mile. And it was so decisive. When she took the lead at 4 miles, she pulled away for an 11-second lead. You say, well, 11 seconds, that's not that big a deal. She was in second place at four miles. She won this thing going away. If it had been a 10K or a 15K, I don't know even how far out ahead she would have been of these folks.
And
I can confidently say that knowing what her talent level is. So congrats to her.
Absolutely.
She's ecstatic and comes at a really good time. She's got a lot of things going on in her life and some family things that her family are working on and some health issue things. And it's just such a fantastic thing to a wonderful person. She's modest and she's everything a person would want to root for in a runner. She's kind to the novices and Mike, if you could see her working with brand new runners, people are out of shape, people that are intimidated by the sport, people that are overweight, people that are older, doesn't matter, kids. She's just as sweet and kind sincerely to everybody she would be if the fastest runner in the world walked in to be helped. And so we cheer for her extra loud. Our teammate Sally Ford had a little bit of an off day, was a little tired, but still ran a very respectable 29:20 she ran, somewhere in there, a decent time. So Rachel beat two Russians, two Kenyans, two Ethiopians, two Ukrainians, and one of the fastest women in our Mid-Atlantic region, Sarah Slatterly. So a tremendous time. One of our teammates, Nicole Keller, went down to Costa Rica, her first triathlon of the season. She's a pro. We've talked about her many times before, third ranked in the United States last year in the Olympic distance.
That's right.
And she took away her first big pro win down at this very prestigious international triathlon in Costa Rica. So congrats to her. Another one that's really modest and sweet as can be and kind to all athletes around her, particularly novices. I mean, we're blessed to have folks like this on our team and in our community. It was a hot weekend, so a tough weekend to have the National Marathon, which is now called Rock and Roll, and to have Shamrock down at Virginia Beach, and then an event called Tobacco Road down in North Carolina. One of my favorite athletes, Winslow Blue, went down to Tobacco Road, had his game plan down, was properly prepared, not only training-wise, but for the weather, ran a really smart race, and came away with a fantastic time, and the 55-year-old is Boston bound. He qualified for Boston. He was ecstatic. He said, life doesn't get much better, Mark. I qualified for Boston, and my Wolfpack won
on the same day. So he's that's North cool. Carolina State grad.
Good for him. That's
so I was funny. Really excited to get what a nice phone call to get from him. And as his coach, you know, doesn't get much better when somebody's really not appreciates me, but appreciates what they've done with their body to qualify for the Boston Marathon with it being 5 minutes faster
sure.
per age group than it was even a year ago. And really tough on these folks to get in. And on a hot day, it's fantastic. We had a great marathon workshop with some wonderful guest lecturers, Art Weltman, Bob Wilder. We had Erica Perkins, Heidi Johnson, Kendra Bell, and Melissa Rittenhouse. We did everything from nutrition, exercise, physiology. We had little half-hour classes and
right.
packed the house. It was sold out even though it was free. And we just fantastic Sunday afternoon. The only down thing for me was Michigan State was playing at the same time, so I kept running downstairs to get Annie to my daughter.
I've been there.
She talked me through the phone, and she goes, oh, she goes,
oh,
ooh. You know, I get on the phone, how are we doing? She goes, ooh. And I say, okay, break it to me gently. But pulled out another day. Holly Rich, funny. Also one of my favorites, Monticello High grad, runs over for the UVA Club Cross Country team. She picked up a blue ribbon, first overall female in the Roanoke Canal half marathon. Nice little 1:33 time. And then this is kind of a cool story, Mike. Janet Borch, she's in the 60 to 64 age group. She hasn't raced in 34 years.
Wow.
She's been out of it and got in the 10-miler training program this winter, worked her way up bit by bit, and enough. I tweaked her program for her so she could do this half marathon up at National over the weekend, and she was 13th in her age group out of 80 people. And 2:19, first race of any distance in 34 years. So congrats to her.
That's cool.
So a lot more folks than who I'm pointing out, but those are some of the kind of big highlights. We've got a lot coming up, including 9 days, 8 days by the time people listen to this, till the 10-miler.
Wow.
We're so excited. Entries are still open. You can go to SchultzelCheckClub.org. Mike Inge, the second-year race director, good buddy. And he's doing a great job. He's still looking for volunteers. And that's, of course, the 31st. Our oldest and most revered foot race in Charlottesville and Charlottesville Track Club's jewel event. And really, he's put a ton of work into it. And we're hoping for a nice day. I hope it's not as warm as it's been. I think this being warm like this has been great to get people acclimatized just in case it is a warm day. But if it's
true.
A cooler day, it's going to feel that much better.
Yeah, last year was perfect.
Mike, it was perfect.
It was perfect.
Gosh. I'm worried about two things this year for folks to kind of put a little extra pressure on themselves. That was the 1 year kind of hiccup finish line. We're never going to use that finish line again.
Right.
And that was it was a gift from the heavens, and so was the weather. So I worry this year if it's hot and we're going back to the old finish line, that last mile is completely different than last year's. The folks are beating themselves up saying, gee, I didn't run as fast last year. And it always drives me a little bit crazy. I mean, if you weren't training all last year and you're training like crazy this year, yes, if you had those circumstances. But if you're the same person basically you were a year ago, I've never seen the weather as good in all my years of being affiliated with that race.
Right.
Either as a race director or volunteer, whatever, racer, I've never seen. And having designed that, the original course, and then helped Mike last year redesign the last mile, I know that that was just, it's a completely different finish. Doesn't mean that your time wasn't worthy. It's still a hard course, but you know when you have an all downhill finish for a mile versus a mile that goes up and down and up and down, up and down one more time, you know, come on, give yourself a little break.
It's amazing how different the sports are, because I ran the 10-miler that morning and it was perfect conditions, then went for the baseball game and not ideal baseball conditions.
Right. I would say
funny.
Great for spectating, lousy for racing.
Yeah.
Lousy for spectating, great for racing.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not saying put on your negative Nancy cap and go out there and, you know, doom and gloom, but just, you know, remember, it's going to be a tougher test this year. And
right.
if we get a cool day, then we'll eliminate the weather as being one of the factors. Training program folks, we graduated them. They hit their 10 miles. Program one, they started, Mike, with 2 laps on the track back in late October,
cool.
and they ran 10 miles last week. 5 months. Amazing.
That is
still
amazing.
One of the bigger things in my coaching world that I'm really proud of. High schoolers, be aware. We had a number of high school kids jump into this 10-mile race last year. I warn them over and over again. They've been used to running a mile or two in competition. They've been used to running on a soft track or out on a gravel road or on a grassy schoolyard. and they jump into a race that's 10 miles, which is five times the distance they're racing on the track, and they run it on hilly, hard surface. It's a great way for stress fractures. We had a pile of them last year. We had a bunch of folks come into the race fine and come out of the race, injured up. If you are listening, and you probably aren't, I don't know how many high schoolers are going to listen to this run cast, but if you are, you need to run it by your coach before you do. I had a number of kids last year confide me that they were sneaking it. You know, they didn't want to tell coach, and I got on them. I said, I felt like ratting to the coach, but of course, you know, not necessarily my place, but I nudged them, please, you know, get your coach in the communication chain. We got John Casey will be here at Ragged Mountain tonight, I guess, as folks will hear this, Thursday night, the 22nd. He's our guest for the Virginia Festival of the Book. He's the National Book Award winner for his 1989 novel, Spartina. He's a literature professor over at UVA, a character, a wonderful guy, 73 years old. He's written this book called Room for Improvement. It's 12 adventures that he took upon himself, athletic adventures from kayaking over some bizarre distance, hiking a long hike, running a marathon. It's really neat little snippet stories. He's still exercising at 73 at this high level, which is great. So it's going to be a good talk, 7 o'clock Thursday night. That's free at Ragged Mountain. McCormick Mile is still open. It's this Saturday morning, 7:30. Dunkin' Donuts is our host, and we're going to run from basically through Central Grounds all the way up to the chapel, coming from Alderman, going up to the chapel, turning right, and heading down the corner on University Avenue and finish with a quarter-mile downhill, almost a nosebleed finish, up in front of the Dunkin' Donuts. We have different age groups, kids, high school, open, and then a bunch of masters age groups. So 7:30, cannot sign up on race day, but you can sign up through Friday. Zeta 5K Run for Life is later that morning if you want something a little further to go. That's a fundraiser for the Breast Care Center at UVA. That's Saturday morning, a little late, 10 o'clock, but you can tell who it's being geared to. You know, who do you think is going to be the primary participant in that event? It's the Zeta 5K Fun Run. Right. So at 10 o'clock start on a Saturday, most of us locals, that's, whoa, wait a second, getting late in the day. So obviously students and, good for them. UVA's first home meet of the season and UVA's first ever meet at the brand new facility. Cool. So think of when they opened up John Paul Jones, how exciting that was, the arena. We're just as excited about the $7 million facility that Coach Fetzer is going to be opening the doors to. That's Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock for the running events, and encouraging folks to come on out for that. Live and Learn Department, oh my gosh. I mean, I started listening this morning the number of people the last week, 10 days, that have come to me about a workout that's about tweaking their training program, about pulling out of a workout, about missing a long run because they're either tired, they're sick, they're hurting. And I mean, talk about getting it right. And every time somebody does this, they miss one or two or three days and then they're back totally healthy afterwards. When you try and punch through, Mike, how many times have you heard this say this? So, I mean, Noelle Davis, Rachel, even a few weeks ago, we just talked about Rachel. She pulls out of a workout, comes over to me and says, Mark, I'm starting to tighten up on this one side. I know something. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, she would have punched her way through that. And, you know, when your body, that's your body's only way of communicating to tell you, it's like the red light flashing, car, the oil light flickers. You keep on driving, you're in trouble. You keep on running, you're in trouble. Heidi Johnson did it the other day. We tweaked a couple of days for her when her hip was hurting. Kenny Ball, his hamstring, we missed a workout. Had to miss a workout. Mike Gaffney was going on a skiing trip out west. We completely, changed around his program. Yeah. These are people approaching me. This isn't me hunting them down.
Right.
Peggy Mowbray, sick as can be, was supposed to run this Tobacco Road marathon, did not because she knew it was going to get her in trouble. I mean, this smart stuff. Galen Boyd, he's had a foot issue. He calls me every week. Mark, what should I do with the workout this week? Let's tweak it. I go on and on. Did have a woman in the other day. Here's the live and learn in the bad regard. Not that she was misbehaving, but she knew to the sport and learned the hard way in program number 2, had worked her way up to 10 and a half miles for her long run. Okay? So she goes to New York City. She's supposed to do her long run on Saturday morning, but she's going to be sightseeing all over New York on Saturday and going to a play that night. So she says, smartly, wisely, I'm going to move the long run to Sunday.
Right.
So it doesn't wipe my day up because it's her first 10 and a half mile run of her life. And you know these virgin runs, every time you're breaking new ground, your body has a kickback after. Say, wow, that felt. If you ran 10 and a half miles every week, she could have done that in the morning and probably not felt it during the day.
But
first 10 and a half mile run of her life. So very smart move on her part. She moves it to Sunday morning. So Saturday, she does the New York gig. She walks, you know, stands, concrete, everywhere. Then she goes to this play, gets into bed late, gets up Saturday morning to get this run out of the way, this 10 and a half mile run up New York. And right towards the end of the run, as she finishes up, comes back to the hotel, she's got an injury, you know, a foot injury, I think it was, a tendonitis, I think. Oh. And I asked her when she came in on Monday or Tuesday to talk to me about it. Fantastic how quickly she came in to talk. I think it was Tuesday. And it was so easy to figure out where the injury came from. But this came purely out of an unusual. I said, when is the last? I said, what do you do normally? I said, when do you normally run your long run when you're in Charlottesville? Saturday.
Right.
I said, and I knew where this was going. I knew what the answer was going to be before she even said it. But I wanted to hear her say it. I said, what do you normally do on Friday? You don't walk around New York.
No.
You don't shop for 5, 6, 8, 10 hours. No. You don't go to a play. She goes, never would I do that. I've been treating myself with Kid Care on Friday. I said, so you did the opposite of what you normally do, getting ready for a long run. So no wonder you got hurt. So I said, take 3 days off, ice, heat, ibuprofen, and you'll be back on your feet. Hopefully no stress fracture. I'd be stunned if it's a stress fracture because it was actin and it was in a certain spot that I just didn't think was that. But I'm no doctor. I'm wrong quite often. But if it doesn't respond, by the way, if you ice something and it works for, you know, just a short period of time and then your injury's back again, you better be suspicious that it's more than a soft tissue injury. Congrats to Joanne Worley. Wonderful. Oh God, she's been such a huge help to me in the 10-mile training program over the years. Talk about relating to recreational runners. She's so good with it. The Charlottesville Track Club just announced that she is the new Women's 4-Miler Training Program Director.
Wow.
So Cynthia will continue to direct the race. Joanne is the brand new 4-Miler Training Program Director. So congrats to her. And all our best to Joan Esposito, who did such a fantastic job of building that program to where it is today, as the brainchild of Connie Friend. And then Joan just has done a fantastic job of building it from couple hundred folks up to over 1,000 women every summer, led the pink ladies through their first miles of their life, some of them. And so we thank her for all those years and then wish the new director all the best. I think that's probably about it. A lot to obviously digest, a lot going on. We're so excited about the 10-miler coming up, and I'm looking forward to
covering it
live in the car. As the color man, and yeah, I'm looking forward to you going for it again this year. It's going to be interesting because last year it was your first time.
I really appreciate listening to you before the advice on talking about, well, if the weather is X amount of degrees warmer, I've never raced in this 10-miler with the original finish. So, don't kill myself in the head if you run close to what you did last year,
faster, you've improved.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a cool little gauge there.
Exactly.
Cynthia always says that, you know, we get so hung up about PRs, but how about course PRs? You know, how about, that's a good thing to do. How about age group PRs? You know, you turn 41, and from 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, in that age, that 5-year age group, are you running any faster than any other race during that 5-year time?
Right.
I mean, you got to break it down a little bit. You can't say, well, like somebody this morning, we had a great time trial. I forgot to mention this over at the track with my Wednesday group of people. There were PRs left and right. And one woman, she's in her mid 40s. And so I thought it was a PR, but she had run faster when she was in college. Well, it's a PR for where you're at in life.
Right.
And speaking of a big tip of the cap to Annie Chapin, she broke 25 minutes for the first time to Jen Hochrein, who broke 20 minutes for the first time, Mike. And she was PR was 20:08, and she ripped out a 19:50 this morning.
Cool.
Bernie Webb, my training partner, 21:30. Zen McKenzie ran out of 21:03, something to that effect. So we had good times left and right this morning out there. It was a little muggy, a little thick, little humid, but good for them. So, all right, everyone, look for my tips for the 10-miler will be in the Daily Progress, hopefully in the next 4 or 5 days. Do one of my On the Run columns, and if you are doing the race. Otherwise, everyone, just enjoy the weather and stay on your feet. We'll talk to you next week.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop. Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at RaggedMountainRunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.